sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Censorship, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for they warm. They shoot, they kill, they mass up from rain. They burn the kids, no one thinks gun. Trees, lie to your face, fight and die. This God will give. Buying time, killing people next in line. Lower classes, social side, they don't matter, genocide. Sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. See their shit, force a bear. Fuck them back, it's only fair. They bomb, they shoot, they kill. They mass up from rain. They burn the kids. No one thinks gun, trees, lie to your face. Fight and die, cause God forgives. Yeah.
Okay, welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV, my favorite little online network. And everybody spread the word, because there's some really good hosts on here. Anyways, today is the 8th of February, 2018, and things just keep getting weirder. So they do. So if you like weird, this is a good time to be alive. I have... we are about to here in southern Ontario, and we are about to get run over by migrants, as all of the counties and towns and municipal governments are playing up the idea that we need all of these migrants to come into the rural area, even though they say that most migrants would rather live in the city. They're actually going to try and recruit migrants from the cities to move up into rural Ontario. And the line they're using is that we need them here to fill the massive number of unfilled jobs. And everybody's going, what unfilled jobs? There's dick all jobs around here. So, I am really looking forward to running in the provincial election, because you can get a little truth out to the general population. And that's why, you know, people hate me harping on this, but you got to run. Because it's the only way that you can get to the general public easily. And you can debate these other idiots and these other political parties, wipe the floor with them, so to speak. You know, I've heard for so many years that the internet is the answer. The internet is not the answer. You can walk up and down any street in pretty much any town and find out that most of the people know nothing. They have no clue what's going on. So, you know, there's a lot of very knowledgeable people on the internet. But in each of your towns, that may relate down, you know, to a very tiny minority of the people in your town that would have a clue what's going on. So when you're in a public election, you get airtime on mainstream media, you get time in the papers, you get to do the candidates' meetings, you get to knock some doors and talk to some people and spread the word, so to speak. Now it's really weird. You know, I'm in this little town and I have been beat on. I've been arrested. I've been intimidated. I've had more police here than you can shake a stick at over the years. And so I stopped in this realty office today because you see, people are getting so dumbed down they can't even follow the simplest of instructions. And this is a complaint I hear from people. Well, you can't even hire people anymore because they've gone so stupid on you. But I had to go get a few more signatures this morning because I didn't want to send the paper in just in case some of them weren't acceptable. Because some of the people, you know, you say, look at just print your name there, put your address there, and then sign it. There's only three slots, right? So you start by printing your name, you put your address in, and then you sign it. Now, you'd think a grade two could figure that out, but I had about six that were screwed right up. I had people signing where they're supposed to print, or printing where they're supposed to put the address, and signing. You know, or putting the address where they're supposed to sign. Like, how hard is this to follow, people? So I'm in this real estate office today, and I know the lady sort of, and we're talking, so she signs a paper, and we're kind of shooting a breeze a bit. And I said, you do realize that they're setting us up to run us over with migrants. And she goes, yeah, I'm hearing that. And she says, but nobody wants to say anything. And my question to her is, why doesn't anybody want to say anything? Well, everybody's afraid. Well, your country's being torn out from underneath of your feet. What do you got to be afraid of? You know, and she really spooked me because she said, you know, you're the only one in this town that will say what needs to be said. And I'm thinking, well, I guess that's why I'm getting all the flack. anyways, so we'll do the provincial election, and then I don't really want to win that because then I'd have to go to Toronto. During the week and sit in the legislature. That would make me want to puke. So I'm thinking that this may work out all right as a primer to run for mayor in the fall, is what I'm thinking. Now, I was talking to another lady, and this is the other thing that bugs me. I'm talking to some people today, and I said, look, I just need you to sign this. All right, put your name on and your address and sign it. I'm running the election. Your signature qualifies me as a candidate. And then they start this nonsense. Well, I don't really know anything about it. About what? About what you want? I just told you I'm running in the election and I need some signatures in order to qualify as a candidate. Well, I'd have to know more about it. Well, there's nothing else to know. There is nothing else to know. I mean, I talked to some people today working in businesses in my town that are so brain dead, it's really scary. So, you know, I was at the flower store, and I've known that lady since, well, we were teenagers. And, you know, we got talking, and she had no problem signing it, but we got talking about, you know, I said, I just talked to some really stupid people. And she goes, no kidding. They're getting dumber every day. And I said, you notice this? And she goes, yeah. And they can't communicate with you. Right? And I said, well, what's doing it to them? And she, you know, she made the motion of texting on a cell phone or whatever. And she said they can text all day. And, they can be real brave when they're texting. But they don't know how to communicate face to face. They don't know how to do it. Now, that store, Quinn's Flower Store, has been there for 75 years. And the people just keep, they weren't dumb until a while back, but they've gotten really stupid. So, like when I told her, I says, oh, I don't know, I don't have a cell phone. Now, she's running the business, and she says, I don't have one either. And I said, I ain't getting one. She said, I'm not getting one either. You know? But she was quite concerned. So I was talking to her about, you know, when I would talk to the kids at the school, they can't touch, they can't do this, can't do that. Then she said, tell me about it. And I said, well, it's really bad in the schools. Yeah, but this didn't happen yesterday. She said, my kid's 27 years old. And when she was in kindergarten, her and her friend were having a snowball fight. I got dragged in the office, and I got a phone call. Right? Like, they're really messing with the kids. And I told her, I said, this election isn't about you, and it isn't about me. I said, it's about the kids. She goes, exactly. So, you know, then I had a businessman, him and his wife, who thought it would be better if I came to their house to have the paperwork signed. And I thought, well, that would be a waste of time. And I said, you know, all I need is your name and stuff. And they said, and then her husband, you know, I was talking to the wife first, and the husband came out. And he said, well, I really don't know I can do this. I go, what's the problem? I said, all the other names that are on these sheets are people that work in local businesses. So how is this a problem? Well, you know, we're kind of concerned about, you know, if the government knows we signed something or something like this. I said, so it's not about anything other than you're afraid. Well, kind of, yeah. You know, and it's really bad. You know, I got a signature as I need, but it's really bad. Why would anybody be afraid? You know? Because when you're afraid, they do you whatever the hell they want. And that's exactly what they're doing. So my friend Arthur died on the weekend down in New Brunswick, and I got a call or a Skype from a gentleman in Ireland today, because even though Art died on the weekend, probably Friday night or Saturday night, one of the two, and but he's still online on Skype. So this gentleman from Ireland, we've been talking for Art for a few years, wondered if he could get a direct link to Art other than the Skype, because he's been trying to contact and nobody's picking up on the other end. And I said, well, he's not going to pick up because he ain't with us any longer. And he says, I kind of heard that, but I wasn't sure. But he's still online. I said, yeah, well, his sister's down there picking him up, and she's supposed to grab the computer and that on the way out. So while we were talking, Art went offline. So, but anyways, the gentleman I was talking to from Ireland, I says, like, how's Ireland? He says, it's getting worse all the time, right? And so he's maybe going to come on and do a show, because I'd like people to know what's going on over there so they compare what's going on over here. And they're already way ahead of us over there. So we need to head it off at the pass over here. One way or the other. And so we may hopefully do a show from Ireland, of which I have some Irish blood in me. Proud to say that. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Now, excuse me. I don't see Chris online. I was kind of hoping he was online because we have. I got a story wherever that is. Where'd that get to? Regarding his hometown. Where did that go? Where did that get to? Anyways, apparently Kingston, Ontario has signed an agreement with Bell, with the Bell Corporation. Let's see if I can dig that out. Oh, I know where I can get it because I sent it to him. Let's go get it that way. Okay, here it is. Now, Kingston, Ontario signed smart city agreement with Bell. Project's goals include more efficient energy use and maintenance. So this is all about the smart city program. So Bell Canada is going to implement new technology that will monitor certain municipal operations in what it's calling a smart city program. Well, the smart city program didn't come from Kingston, Ontario. It didn't come from Ontario. It didn't come from Canada. The project will collect and organize data from internet-connected items to help to see if Kingston, Ontario keep track of things like energy use. A joint statement from Kingston and Bell says the project will help the city make better informed decisions on matters like municipal operations and infrastructure. Kingston says the first two parts of its smart city program will roll out this spring. The city will introduce digital kiosks that provide Wi-Fi access, real-time event updates, and changing charging services, as well as 911 emergency buttons, among other features. The city will also begin closely monitoring energy data, which it says will help reduce carbon emissions and meet municipal environmental targets. It says it will also keep the city better, it will also help the city better coordinate maintenance. City and Bell note that the federal government announced $300 million in funding for smart cities over 11 years in its 2017 budget. The partnership with Bell will create cutting-edge technology for us and put Kingston on the map as being one of the most innovative cities in Canada, said Kingston Mayor Brian Patterson. Bell says the project will help the city transform its operations within months of being implemented. Now, we have a huge problem here. We got a dipshit mayor looking with his little mayor ribbon around his neck, shaking hands with some equally goofy looking guy from Bell. Now, the problem with this is that it's the same template they use. You know, back when they're putting all the wind farms in, and I guess they're putting in another one down on an island in the St. Lawrence River near Kingston, and it's the same template. You could take all of this lingo here, and just instead of services and features, and plug in wind farms instead of data collection. The partnership with Bell will create cutting edge energy instead of technology for us and put Kingston on the map as being one of the most wind-friendly cities in Canada. Same shit, different day as they move the programs along. Now, the problem with Bell, I'm going to try and get everybody to not use Bell. Because Bell is also in another program, which is Let's Talk, I think is what it's called. And it's the mental health situation where Bell, they put this little logo out everywhere. I've seen it. He just kept coming at me on Facebook. So I had to go look this thing up. Nobody looks it up. They just go, isn't that great? Every time you click on this, Bell puts in 5 cents towards mental health. Well, the question is, what's Bell doing in mental health? Now, not only are they collecting, it would be one thing to collect money for mental health, but this Let's Talk program from Bell gives large PDFs or whatever to teach people how to recruit the mentally ill in their towns. Because now everybody apparently is mentally ill. And we want to help. So they're building this huge mental health bureaucracy. And you got Bell investing into it. Now, this the smart city, and which is really turned into the resilient, it was smart city, now it's resilient city. But same difference. But Bell is a large corporation. And as Rockefeller said, something has to take the place of government. And business is the obvious entity to do it. And this is them working their way in. Now, Bell's supposed to be a telecommunication joint, but now they're in the mental health business. They're in the business of at the municipal level. So they put up Kingston as, you know, the forefront, just like they did with wind. And everything they promised was a lie. And everything they're promising here is a lie. Okay, this isn't about being efficient. This is about surveillance. A big surveillance grid by Bell. Which is all of these things are making people have anxiety on purpose, so that we can build the mental health regime. So we can put people on pills. It's really beyond sickening. But the average person doesn't have a clue. You know, if people are reading this at home, I doubt one in thousands and thousands and thousands would bother to go, what's a smart city? And look it up. You know, just every time you read this word smart, think the opposite, which is stupid. Right? And people go, oh, we're getting the smart grid in here, or smart this, or smart that. Well, just get stupid. And put that word in there. Then you got the real story. But they know they've gotten everybody so stupid that they're not paying any attention anymore, and they can call it smart. It sounds better than stupid. But we're having our towns and our cities taken away from us. having a province, state taken away from us and getting locked down in the process. Now, there's another story. there's another story. You know, everybody's all into the government's telling you to be sustainable and environmentally correct, I guess is what you might call it. And but you knew this was coming, or you should have known this was coming. Oh, here's a story, an exclusive. Alleged ISIS operative Jihad Jack, or Jihadi Jack, begs to let him come, begs Canada to let him come here. And we probably will. Or we won't, and he'll sue us for $10 million, and we'll cut him a check. And then he doesn't have to come here because he's got $10 million to buy bombs or guns or whatever. Excuse me. This is getting out of hand. Canadian diplomats have made contact with a British Columbian man who allegedly joined ISIS in Syria and who is now pleading with the government to secure his release from prison and allow him to come to Canada. The Communist Broadcasting Corporation has learned. Jack Letts, a British Columbian man dubbed Jihadi Jack by the UK media, is being held in by Kurdish authorities on suspicion of being a member of the extremist organization. CBC now has obtained audio recordings and text transcripts of his conversations with Canadian consular officials who have stopped short of giving him any direct assurances they'll be able to free him. "Please get out of this place," Letts said in January. In his January 10th conversation with Canadian officials, "I don't mind if you put me in prison, just get me out of here as soon as possible." Asked if he wanted to return to his parents' home in Oxford, UK, Letts was unequivocal, "No, I want to come to Canada." He told the consular official that he had attempted suicide after his first month in solitary confinement was bound in time by his Kurdish guards. "I started to go insane and talk to myself, and I thought dying was better than my mother seeing me insane," Letts said, so I tried to hang myself. He has since been allowed to live in a cell with other prisoners. CBC has asked officials at Global Affairs repeatedly whether the Liberal government is working to win his freedom and whether he will be allowed to come to Canada. Let's see here now. Can we add him on this? Yes, we can. I wonder why I can do that here, but I can't do it on Revolution Radio. That's weird. And anyways, are you there, Chris? Hello, 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 hello.
Hey, boss.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, you got
an issue with Skype.
You got a smart city going, eh?
We do.
Yeah. Bell Canada is going to do the surveillance for Kingston.
They're going to...
Your mayor looks like an idiot, by the way.
Yeah, well, I told you, he was... Really ironic, when he was going, I've just got to turn this down here. He was going, running for mayor. That was a year after he was walking down the street with people from his cult telling everybody that Jesus loves them.
I don't think so.
So I have no idea how that, I got the wrong one here, crap. I'm trying to turn down the radio. Sorry. There we are. Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry about that. My Skype, I've been having some serious issues with it.
A lot of people have.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he was, I kicked him off. Well, I told him to get off the street, him and his henchmen. There were about five of them. They were literally walking down the middle of the street and handing out pamphlets and saying, Jesus loves you, repent.
Really?
And I said, come on, man. I see you guys are a little crazy here. Get out of here. Move. I don't want you on my block. Jesus loves you. I said, get up. And then they get on my property. I said, get off my property. And it was, a year later, he got voted in as mayor of Kingston. I don't know how that happened.
No, because that would seem opposite to what's going on everywhere else.
Yeah.
So, Bell Canada is... Bell's in the health, in the mental health business.
He's in. Bell's in. And then I think I sent you something that I thought we had the one up on everybody else, but then I sent you something. Toronto is now working with
Google.
Amazon.
And Google,
yeah.
They want to take the waterfront and turn it into a what was that guy's name? Jacques, the hell was his name?
Cousteau?
No, the new age guy. They want to build the cities. And it's one of his cities, Jacques, the hell was his name? The Venus Project, I think is what it was called. And it's exactly what they want to build on the waterfront, in that industrial area in Toronto. They want to put in the driverless cars. Well, actually, not even driverless cars. They want to put pods in, like you saw in the movies, right? You just get in it, and it takes you where you want to go, right? I think they were on rails. So they want to build this futuristic city at the edge of Toronto on the waterfront. Which is, when you got Google in this and then you got Amazon in this, these are the multinational companies, these huge multinational companies who are taking over your cities, which is exactly what Rockefeller said. Something's got to take place of government, and business seems the obvious entity to do it. So as they crunch these cities down for financing, and that's another in, because I keep seeing things like Ontario is going to have to raise taxes or cut back on services. So they'll say, well, we're going to raise your taxes, and they'll say, we can't afford anymore. Okay, well, we won't raise your taxes. We'll get the money from these multinational companies, and it's all part and parcel of the play. Where, they want to build that surveillance grid.
Short-term gain for long-term loss.
Yeah, exactly. So,
as usual.
Yeah, but I got kind of a compliment today from the lady, real estate office. You know, she said, when I told her, I had to get a few extra names just to make sure this goes through. The candidacy thing. But I was talking to her and I said, they're setting us up to run us over migrants in rural Ontario. And she's going to have heard that. People are talking about it. So she signed my papers. But then she said to me, she says, you're the only one in this town that will say what needs to be said. And I said, well, what is that? I mean, because it confuses the hell out of me. She says, everybody's afraid. Of what? Right? Like, why are people just sticking your head in the sand all the time? Make them afraid, not you. Right? So, yeah, it's kind of strange. But
well, that light rail, I mean, there's people complaining that it's not being done on budget, surprise, surprise. Like, they're 8 months behind. Is it Toronto, I think? They're supposed to have the light train transit set up for the, you know, for the...
Well, Montreal.
They're 8 months, 8 months behind and over budget, of course. And people are actually complaining because they want their light rail transit.
Well, I saw the one from Montreal is going to be $300 million over budget and take a year longer to build, right?
Okay, maybe it's Montreal that I'm
like. Who are these budget guys? Who are these planning guys? I mean, if you went and estimated a job, and then said, "Well, I kind of screwed up, and it's going to be three times what I quoted you, and going to take four times as long." And they'll just tell you to hit the road. But when the taxpayer is on the hook, I guess it doesn't matter how far out they are on their prices. Which brings me back to new math, right? When I was in school, I always just scratch pad everything and put the answer down. And when they brought new math in, I was just doing the same thing. And I got 2 out of 10. And I asked the teacher, I said, "Well, what's going on here? Like, are my answers wrong?" She said, no, your answers are all right. I said, "Well, okay." So I get 20 out of 100, and all my answers are right. How's that? "Well, you didn't follow the steps. There's 5 steps now." I don't give a shit about the steps. The only thing that matters is the answer right. And she said, "Well, no, actually, the answer is not that important anymore." How in the hell can the answer not be important? "Well, it's important that you follow the steps." So I can follow the 4 steps and put the wrong answer in and get 8 out of 10. Like, are you people mental? And that's what I told her. I said, if I'm out in the real world, the only thing that matters is the right answer. If I'm estimating jobs and I'm out by $2 million the wrong way, they don't give a shit that I was using the... And, you know, what am I going to tell my boss? "Well, I followed the steps." "Yeah. Well, how are you out $2 million? Yeah. "Well, the answer isn't really that important." That's what my teacher told me. So don't give me a hard time. Can I have a bonus now? I mean, it's...
You only get them in government.
It's ludicrous. It's ludicrous. Well, I already said this earlier, but man, when I was talking to the lady that runs the flower store, who I've known since I was a teenager, and you know, I told her about the ladybug, right? And she didn't blink an eye. She said, "That makes perfect sense to me, right? Because it's that far gone." But I'd run into some real dozy people today, and I told her about it, and she says, "Well, try standing in here." Right? Like, people can't communicate with each other anymore. They don't have any ability anymore to discuss anything face to face. All they do is text. And I said, "Well, I don't know about texting because I don't have a cell phone." And she goes, "I don't either." And I go, "I ain't getting one." She goes, "Neither am I." Right? But she said, people can't, they cannot communicate face to face anymore. It's really strange.
Wasn't the phone texting and your iPad-y things, isn't that the new MK Ultra? Instead of giving you...
I think so. I really do. I went to get a coffee this morning before I went to get them names, and the lady that works at the store, Michelle, she was really busy, she says, "Can you go open up the propane box out front there and get these guys a couple of propane tanks?" I go, "Yeah." And it's cold as hell and snowing and that, and I put the first key in, and it didn't seem to want to open it. Maybe the lock was froze. And so I thought, well, okay, I'll try the next one. I didn't even put any pressure on it, and the damn key breaks off in the lock. So... then we had to get out some tools and dismantle the chain. But, you know, when I'm watching the people in the store, like they don't talk to each other, right? You know, you don't see, hey, how's it going? All this kind of stuff, right? They just kind of put their heads down and get their lottery tickets or whatever, and it's really weird, you know. But Jihadi Jack wants to come back to Canada, so he looks pretty spry. He wants to get out of UK jail and come home. And, you know, Canadians are Canadians.
Who is that?
Huh?
Who is that?
I don't know. I was going to do a different... I was going to look at a different story about where they're going to move all of our natural resources offshore, like our oil and that.
Oh, they're already doing that.
Well, they're moving all of our stuff out of here because we're a post-national state now. But that pipeline they want to put from Alberta...
Oh, yeah.
BC. So now the McKenna, they're the environment minister. So they're telling everybody, you know, don't litter, don't do this, be sustainable, and all this kind of stuff. But they got hung up on that pipeline, right? So they threw out the system they had, and they put a new system in, and they have offshore people now talking about how we're going to do this. And, you know, the whole idea... They moved all of our manufacturing over to China, and so they shut down all our coal plants, and they shut them down all over the place, so there's no market for coal, so coal's cheap, so it's getting shipped to China, and now our oil and that's going to get shipped, because what do we need it for? We don't manufacture none of it, right? So, I mean, this is just all set up over a long, long period of time.
There's a big brawl going on out there right now.
Well, no, because they just stop
with the we're not going to allow your wine across our border.
British, yeah, well, our oil is going to China.
Alberta. And,
yeah, well, the oil business is just a tad bigger than the wine business.
Yeah, I think. Yeah.
What they're doing is they set it up now, so all of the environmental safeguards they used to have in place, they got rid of them all for the pipelines, right? Now, if you try to cut down a tree in your backyard, you may have to have an environmental assessment and all the rest of this crap, but we're going to pump oil over the mountains, through the mountains, wherever the hell they're getting there from Alberta, and there ain't nothing you can do about it.
Bulldozers are coming in.
Yeah, well, it's like Morris Strong said, you know, capitalism for him and his friends and the socialism for everybody else. So there's money shipping oil out of our country, of which these multinationals are going to benefit from. And meanwhile, the homelessness and that is just going to, the poverty rate in this country is going to continue to go up. So, you know. But you don't know Jihadi Jack?
No, I guess I've been doing other research.
Well, I know this just popped up. I never saw it today. It just popped up. I was going to do the other story. You know, I like this down here. A Canadian is a Canadian. The Letts case is a major test for Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's oft-quoted diplomatic mantra that a Canadian is a Canadian is a Canadian. So you got Jihadi Jack, who is originally from British Columbia, I guess, who went and joined ISIS and ended up in a UK jail. So will Jihadi Jack be allowed back into Canada? His response during the 2015 election campaign to the former Conservative government's legislature stripping suspected terrorists of their Canadian citizenship. One of the Trudeau Liberals' first acts once in power was to ditch that law. More recently, the government has been attacked by its opponents for its support for de-radicalization programs involving returning ISIS supporters. Excuse me. The British government, meanwhile, hasn't indicated any interest in allowing Letts to return to the UK. According to lawyers representing... Oh, he's in a Kurdish prison. According to lawyers representing his family, British authorities have done little to get him out of Kurdish custody. The British High Commissioner in Ottawa declined to comment on the case Thursday. So it's how we have empathy for everybody here in Canada. So Letts, 22, was captured by the Kurdish YPG militia last May after escaping the extremist group's de facto capital before it fell. His parents, John Letts and Sally Lane, claimed their son never joined ISIS and was traveling in Syria when he was taken by terrorists in 2014. Mental health issues. So he's having mental health issues now. So that's the reason to bring him back to Canada. Let's see. A written statement from the Kurdish authorities released in mid-January said Letts is being investigated by anti-terror units, but once the case is settled, he can be released into the custody of either Canada or Britain. Therefore, we ask the parents of Jack Letts and their legal representatives to ask the UK and Canadian governments to officially request a handover of Jack Letts from the officials of the Democratic Federation of Northern Syria so that the handover can proceed officially, said the statement. However, so far, there's been no official request from either Canadian or British governments. I don't see how Canada would refuse, as a subheading. An immigration lawyer said it's a complex case and the Liberal government has little leeway to deny Letts' request. I don't see how Canada would refuse to let at least give him a one-way travel document to Canada, said Peter Elderman, who testified before a Commons committee about the former Conservative government's legislation stripping citizenship from suspected terrorists. That doesn't mean he won't come straight into custody in Canada. He may well have committed an offense that is prosecutable in Canada. I don't know what he is alleged to have done in Syria, but there may be a basis for prosecuting him here. Most of the federal anti-terrorist laws enacted over the last few years have been aimed at stopping Canadian citizens from traveling overseas to join ISIS. Elliman said the fact that Letts departed from Britain makes his case more difficult for Canadians to prosecute. Letts is not one of the group of the British ISIS militants known outside Syria as the Beatles because of their UK accents and infamous for their role in the torture and killing of Western hostages. According to U.S. officials, Syrian Kurdish fighters recently detained two of those men. They were the last two members of the group. So anyways, they want to let Letts back into Canada, apparently. But isn't there a lady, Chris, that hasn't done anything to anybody sitting in a high-security jail in Germany? And isn't the Canadian government not raising a finger to do anything about it? I still got you?
Yeah, you have me.
So, you know, they're doing all this work, all this airplay about this guy should be able to come back to Canada. But Monica Schaefer,
yeah,
high security jail prison in Germany, our government has said nothing.
Well, yeah, no, yeah, not a word, not a whisper.
So, Jihadi Jack, welcome back to Canada. Monica Schaefer, who said the Holocaust was a fraud, which she was absolutely correct. So Jihadi Jack trumps
even if you wanted
a violin teacher.
Even if you wanted to debate that, I mean, it is, I mean, at the least debatable, like to suggest that it's a fraud, which we know it is a fraud. But so
well,
yeah,
nobody's ever brought
standing up and saying, you know what, freedom of speech, freedom of expression. We are allowed here in Canada. Bring your citizen back. Not a whisper.
No, but Jihadi Jack, you know, he's suffered in the jail there, and the Kurdish jail, and you know, we should bring him back to Canada because he is a Canadian. But and he was, you know, he joined ISIS, but that's okay. But, this violin teacher in her mid-60s who just viewed her opinion on a subject gets picked up and thrown in a high-security prison, and our government doesn't even say boo. In fact, the articles they printed was how happy the ADL was to see her in prison.
Well, yeah.
Well, what about Jihadi Jack? You know, like...
Oh, shit.
You got your phone going off?
I do, I'm sorry.
Well, it's not a problem.
I don't know if that helps any. Okay, anyways, that's so distracting.
Yeah, here's the other story. This is a story I was going to talk about, was that Ottawa to scrap the National Energy Board overhaul environmental assessment process for major projects. So what they've done is they've basically said the provinces can bitch and complain all they want, but we're the federal government, and therefore we will do as we wish, and tough luck, you know. The Trans Mountain must go ahead, says McKenna. We don't care who doesn't like it. And when you look at where, you know, Edmonton down to Burnaby and out to the water, and then load the boats and then ship them off to China.
Well, there's two things with that, Ron.
What?
I mean, you got this little, you know, this little game playing going on between two provinces. And then they, well, you know, Trudeau's going to step in and take charge, right? Because he's our prime minister. And then you've got the, I read something about the natives talking about pointing through their territory. And right. They got a plan to park all the ships. I'm not sure the whole thing, but they're going to do it through, which I'm sure is, you know, the chiefs, which are the only ones that actually make money in the reserves. They've got some kind of coordination going on with our government, so they're going to run it through the native reserves somehow out, and then they're going to set it up so that all these Chinese ships can line up against the reserve, and because it's a reserve, apparently our government can't do anything about it. And
yeah, well, this one paragraph about says it all. Despite the new process, McKenna said the federal cabinet will retain its right to approve projects it feels are in the national interest, even if the assessment process determines a project could cause certain environmental, health, social, and or economic effects, a substantial power that essentially gives the federal government a veto. So yeah, because China wants the oil, so we don't give a shit about, all of a sudden we don't care about the environment, we don't care about your health, we don't care about social or economic consequences. China wants the oil, and we're stopping you from using fossil fuels because China needs the fossil fuels. That's the whole thing of not using fossil fuels. China wants them. You know, like, you know, we should get some, you know, this marshmallows and go up to the federal parliament buildings and just have a big, you know, invite everybody to Canada and bring your marshmallows and a stick, and we'll light that place up on, and just sit around, and once we get a nice coal bed going, we'll just roast marshmallows and sing the old Canadian anthem, not the new one. Because most Canadians aren't gender neutral. You know, it's... Did you see the thing I put up on Facebook?
Which one?
About the dog?
No, I haven't seen
that dog. One. There's a dog out in Shuswap, B.C. And so this is... I only got a couple... Well, we got a little bit of time. So I put this up. Here's a dog. Here's a picture of a dog pushing a snowblower, right? And he blows the driveway out. And he also cooks hot dogs on open fire. And he can get you a beer, and he can get rid of your empty for you. Quite a talented dog. 125-pound Newfoundland dog in BC's Shuswap region. Can operate a snowblower and roast hot dogs over open fire, among other things. So I look at this, a very nice picture, a nice red snowblower, the great big huge black dog standing on his hind legs pushing a snowblower down the driveway. So I just put in 2019, vote Morgan for prime minister, Morgan being the dog. Morgan, you can trust. Morgan is not gender confused. Morgan will protect our borders against anyone who doesn't like dogs or bacon. Morgan has many talents, unlike the present UN globalist puppet PM or those other puppet party leaders vying to replace Tinkerbell Trudeau. Morgan has high moral standards, unlike the amoral idiots presently running the country. Morgan in 2019, finally a PM Canadians can trust and be proud of. People seem to like it.
Well, of course. I mean, it's like, you know, it goes back to like guys trying to get into office and calling themselves Krusty the Clown.
Yeah.
Anything's better than what you got.
Well, this place has gotten so ridiculous. Well, I mean, you know, Morgan's a dog, and the Muslims don't like dogs, and they don't like us having bacon, and Morgan likes bacon. So you put Morgan, he's 125 pounds, he's a huge dog, put him on the border, and you just, you know, put a note, you know, you don't like dogs, you don't like bacon, you ain't getting across. I ain't carrying your luggage to the truck like the RCMP does. In fact, I might run you over with my snowblower, right? you know, now if I wasn't in jail right now, man, they got me locked down. I put this up last night. I got 443 views on it. And if I wasn't in jail, this would have got 30,000-40,000 views real quick. I don't like Facebook. What's that, Facebook? You don't like me either. Okay, well, I guess it's a mutual thing. We don't like each other. But all I'm hearing on Facebook now, people are just pissed right off because they're being locked down left, right, and center. Anybody that's putting out any kind of decent information is locked down. You know? And but Jihadi Jack, that's a different story. He should come home. Then I got to check this thing out that's going on in Sudbury. I think it's a caddy in mind or something that they want to put in there. And I guess the people are really pissed off about that because I was reading something about it a little bit, and I guess it's quite a nasty process that poisons the water and the air and causes cancer. And I guess some of the people up there are getting just a little bit ticked off about this nonsense. But the fact of the matter is, the government will lock you down, and you can't cut a tree, and you can't do this, and you can't do that. But again, they can do whatever the hell they want. And they don't have to be sustainable. They don't have to be environmentalists. They can just do whatever the hell they want. So, and I'm out of time, I think. That's too bad because this other story about the Winnipeg Center receiving $4 million to develop a program that anyways, Christopher, have a great night. Listeners, have a great night. We'll be back. Take care, everybody. Have a great night. Out of time.